Right, last week and this week, I've been talking about dreams. I'm going to talk about dreams today. So this is the second part of a two-part sermon series called Dreams out of the Book of Joel. So I ask you, what kind of dreams do you have? It's fine to have dreams. I encourage you to have dreams. You could start with yourself, what dreams you might have for you. The first thing to ask is, are the dreams you have more about you and kind of your desires, or do they come from God? Or another way to put it, are your dreams conforming to the will of God? Are you getting your dreams from God? It's always a good thing to ask yourself. Even the dreams we may have for Bethel as a church, as a whole, I have dreams that I want to see happen, but I need to take those things to God and make sure, well, those aren't just my preferences. Those are things that God wants for us. Because the only dreams worth pursuing, the only dreams worth working for, the only dreams worth spending money on are the dreams that God gives you, the dreams that God gives us. When he reveals his will to you, those are the dreams that we want to go after. And it could be his will for your marriage. It could be what's going on at school for you. It could be your kids, your parents, your business, anything in your life. You want those dreams to be lining up with God's will. So we're looking at some verses in Joel again this week. The Old Testament book of Joel, it's a very short book. And if you're flipping to find it, sometimes it's hard to find because it's only a few pages. But if you're flipping in the Old Testament and you see Daniel, start slowing down. If you see Hosea, slow down even more because the next book is Joel. Daniel, Hosea, Joel. It's only three chapters long, and the verses that we're going to look at today are the most well-known verses in Joel, the ones that are quoted the most. The Apostle Peter quoted them in Acts chapter 2. We looked at those last week. I read them. We didn't look at them in depth. But I remind you, as I told you last week, I remind you that these verses that we'll read in just a moment, they're not just automatic things because you're a follower of Jesus or you come to church or anything along those lines. There must be repentance. And God calls you to repentance always. And there is no forgiveness without repentance. There's no salvation without repentance. Some people think repentance is a bad word. I don't think it's a bad word at all. I think it's a very good word. I think it's a positive word because it leads to reconciliation with God. That's a good thing, isn't it? Repentance is designed to bring you closer to God or to bring you to God in the first place. So I won't go through the repentance sermon again. It's available online. If you need a link or just ask, text me or email me. I'll send you a link to it. But oh, and by the way, our website is still under construction. I know you've heard that a few times. But eventually we'll have all the sermons available as a kind of an archive that you can go to anytime. All right, in the first chapter and a half of Joel approximately, Joel described God's judgment and then he called for repentance. And this judgment in their case was a plague of locusts that had completely wiped out their crops. It had decimated their economy. They were in terrible straits because of this thing. And God said this, or Joel told them that God says, this is your judgment on you. And it can represent judgment for us as well, so we can learn from it. And again, he calls for repentance. And then he began to talk about all the great things that'll happen when repentance takes place. And so God says, then I'll do these things. We'll read some of those right now. Joel chapter 2. Again, these are the most well-known verses from Joel. I'll just read through them this time. They won't be on the screens, but you can check it out in your Bible. I'm reading from the NLT, so yours may read different. You can kind of compare them. Verse 28 of Joel chapter 2. Then, after doing all those things, I will pour out my spirit upon all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams, and your young men will see visions. In those days I will pour out my spirit, even on servants, men and women alike, and I will cause wonders in the heavens and on the earth, blood and fire and columns of smoke. The sun will become dark and the moon will become blood red before that great and terrible day of the Lord arrives. But everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Now I want to go through those one at a time, and actually we'll spend... we'll break verse 28 down into two sections. Again, this is NLT on the screens that I'm reading from, and you can follow along in your Bible. The first part of verse 28 says, then, after doing all those things, I will pour out my spirit on all people or upon all people. I encourage you to read all of Joel at home. Again, it's a very short book. It'll take you a few minutes to read it. If you didn't from last week, you can maybe read it tonight before you go to bed. What we didn't read last week and what we didn't read this week, and you can go back and see it in the previous verses, that after repentance, after coming back to him, God said, I'm going to restore your land. I'm going to drive away your enemies. I'm going to give you back everything that was lost. You just need to come back to me, follow me. And then, he says, then after doing those things, like the restoring of the land and driving off the enemies, giving back, then after doing all those things, I will pour my spirit out on all people, all people. It is so important to grasp this all people thing. Now, it's not quite as big a deal to us as it would have been in Bible times, but we still deal with inequality. We still think, well, there are some people that are better than others, and we put people in categories, and we think, well, maybe it's not for them, and or maybe it's not for ourselves. And it certainly was true in Bible times, where maybe the thought was, well, only the religious leaders get to know what's going on with the Holy Spirit. Maybe only the educated, or only the men, or whatever it is. But this is very important that Joel, and then Peter quoted it, and he said this is coming true right in front of your eyes when Acts chapter 2, the events in that were recorded. I'm going to pour out my spirit, God's spirit, on all people, no respecter of person's background or anything else. That's important. And I always encourage you to read the Bible for yourself, because the Holy Spirit can speak to you better than I can, or any of your Sunday school teachers or small group or anything else. Those things are good. I encourage you to be part of church and the things we're doing here. But nothing beats getting into the Word for yourself, getting off in a quiet place and asking the Holy Spirit, show me, what do you want to say today? It might be something you've read many, many times before, but the Holy Spirit brings the Word of God alive in a way that no one else can. He will speak to you if you seek him. It's not just the preachers, it's not just the educated, it's not just the men, it's not just the women. We all, every person in this room, have the same exact access to God. Remember that and grasp that. If you know Jesus, you have been given the Holy Spirit, because Jesus promised he would do that. You have the Holy Spirit, and he will speak to you if you seek him. Second part of verse 28, we're still in 28, it says, your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams, and your young men will see visions. Sons, daughters, he's emphasizing it again. Sons and daughters, old men, young men, all people, no matter what, everybody's going to get the same spirit. And prophecy here, we see prophecy, we're like, whoa, I've seen those guys on YouTube talking about that weird stuff, and then odd language they use sometimes, saying these things are going to happen. Prophecy is not a weird word at all. Some people make it weird, but it's not a weird word. It's a biblical word. And really, prophecy at its core is not just predicting the future. It's saying, here's what God says. It's telling people what God's, this is what God says. Other people like to make it weird. It's nothing weird. In this pure form, it's God's word. So I can read something from here, and it's a type of prophecy because it's recorded God's word. I'm telling you, here's what God says. I happen to open it to Isaiah 11:1, and there's all sorts of things in there I could read, and it would be prophecy because God already said it, and he wants us to know it. So that's a type of prophecy. And when someone claims to tell you a prophecy or proclaim a prophecy, no matter what the situation or setting is, it's one really easy test of it is to line it up with God's word. If it contradicts something in here, the person is a false prophet, and it's a false prophecy, and it's not right. Many years ago, a few years ago anyway, I had a pastor friend, and he told me that a woman came into his office, a married woman from their church, and told him that she was going to leave her husband and go marry this other guy. And she told him, God told me to do this. He said, no, he didn't, because that contradicts the word of God. And God does not contradict himself ever. He's not going to tell somebody to leave their spouse and go with another spouse. That's not from God. And I'm not, if you've dealt with the pain of divorce, I'm not picking on you or anything like that. I'm just saying what happened there. And he flat out told her, no, God did not tell you that. The same with dreams. We see those people on YouTube and television or wherever you might come across them. Dreams don't have to be weird. I mean, it's from the Bible here. I have dreams. I think many of you share a dream of seeing people come to Jesus. That's a dream. That's a good dream. Seeing people come to Jesus right here at Bethel. It's very exciting for me to be part of a church that cares about lost people, people that don't know Jesus, or they need to come back to him. They've been hurt or whatever has happened to them in the past. And not all pastors get that. Not all churches care about the lost. Now, everybody will say they do, but not all really do. And the hurting people, I want to talk about them for a moment. I've had a burden probably all my life, but certainly my ministry years, about people that have gotten burned in church and they've given up. Now, you know, we could say we shouldn't have given up, but they did. For some reason, God has sent a lot of people my way over the years. I have just a tremendous burden for those. I want them to give church one more try. You know, and some of the people, you hear some of their stories, you sit down and listen to it, you think, I might have been done with church too had that happened to me. Because there's been some very hurtful things done in the name of Jesus, unfortunately. I don't want that to ever happen here. I want this to be a place where maybe people could come and heal from all of that. And it's not just old guys like me having dreams. The Bible says young people have dreams. Old people have dreams. Men, women, we all have dreams. Kids, teenagers. Where's Madison Yoder? Madison, you ready to come down here? We didn't plan any of this, did we? She's bringing a piece of paper. Madison's going to come down. I'm going to have her stand over here with me so maybe you could better see her. She might not be quite tall enough for that pulpit there. So Madison's going to come down here. Madison is in fifth grade, and you're 11. You're still 10. When's your birthday? July. Well, you're almost 11. All right, so she's 10 years old. Come on over here so people can see it. Or would you rather stand there? You don't care. Okay. Do you want to tell your story, or do you want me to ask questions? You're gonna read that? All right. You want to hold that, or you want me to hold it for you? Okay.
So, as many of you know, back in July, I got to go to Butler, Illinois to Love Packages on a missions trip with the youth group. While I was there, we got to package literature, sort through Bibles, go through mail, and hear stories of how the literature touched people's lives. We got to load a 20-ton truck of literature and pray over it. The trip was amazing, and I realized just how hard literature was to come by in other nations. When my mom heard the youth was doing a Bible drive, she asked me if I wanted to help the youth achieve their goal of 200 Bibles. I said yes because I wanted to help the nations. So we sat down and made a video and put it on social media. We got a lot of views, but we did not get Bibles right away. We prayed for Bibles. We got a few. So my mom told me to set a goal as to how many I wanted to collect. I set a goal of 50. We continued to pray, and one day Bibles started rolling in. The next thing we know, God blew my goal away, and he had blessed us with 129 Bibles. We can all set goals and dreams and dream dreams. If we pray and seek God, he will take our dreams and goals further than we can ever imagine.
Okay, a couple questions for you. Now, the original ministry goal that they had was 200 Bibles, and you brought in 129, is that right? So you bring in over half of their goal came through you, right? Or, well, it came from God, I know. But he did it through you, okay? And your original goal was how many?
50.
Which was you probably wondered if you'd get 50, and then God brought her 129 Bibles. She's 10 years old. I think, are you a Texas fan? You're going to watch a Texas football game today? She's got the Kansas City thing here. Okay, I get distracted easy. Okay, thank you, Madison, for not only, it takes a lot to get up in front of church, I realize that. So, yes. So, we have a 10-year-old, almost 11, that had a vision. She had a dream. It's not weird. Dreams and visions don't have to be weird. A fifth grader. And I want you to stop and think what the Bibles that Madison collected, and she did it through you, you helped her. Many of you brought Bibles. But just stop and think what those Bibles might do. Hebrews 4:12 says that the Word of God, which is contained in this Bible, is alive, and it's powerful. That's what the Bible says about itself. The Word of God is alive. So it's not like she just, well, some people don't have enough books to read. We'll collect books. That'd be a nice goal and everything. But she sent them the Word of God. And who knows where that lands? We don't know. We have no way of knowing where those Bibles will land, but God does. And God's Word is alive. Wherever it lands, it's alive. And so who knows what would happen, even if you picked one of the Bibles that got sent. It might, somebody might come to Christ, and then they might lead others to Christ. We don't know what it'll do in the kingdom of God. But Madison listened to the Holy Spirit. She had a dream. She prayed about it. Notice that detail she gave us. And then God said, I'll see your 50 Bibles and raise you to 129. Right there. A young lady dreamed a dream. Just like Joel said and what Peter quoted, your young women and young men will have dreams and see visions. All right, verse 29. In those days, I will pour out my spirit even on servants, men and women alike. Now, this is another radical statement that is maybe not as radical to us, but somewhat, because we kind of rank professions sometimes, and we think, you know, the really smart people with lots of degrees and everything, and the rich folks and the entertainers of the world, they're kind of on the top, and there's a bunch of people in the middle. And then we sometimes look at jobs as being menial. Now, I believe all work can be to the glory of God, no matter what it is, but sometimes the world says, you know, well, the servants of the world are the servants of the world. And, you know, back then there were servants. People had household servants, cooking and cleaning and all the things that maybe in a house that a more wealthy person might have had. The person that was low on the totem pole in a household would be the person that washed feet. That was kind of the bottom rung, at least in society. But God says, no. In those days, I'll pour out my spirit on servants. Men and women alike. Everybody. Not just the elite. In fact, and I keep going back to this, it's probably been about 4 or 5 weeks now that I've mentioned to it, but God keeps bringing me back to this, that God seems to favor the underdogs, the people that you wouldn't expect, the people that are unconnected, not the elite. He seems to want to do things through people that you would never guess he would pick, or that I would pick. He does that anyway. The unconnected. Doesn't matter what the world says about you, and I don't know what the world said about you, but the world can kick you around pretty good sometimes. I don't know what's said about you, but it doesn't matter what the world says about you and to you, or where you know, the world says you rank in whatever, economics or importance. Doesn't matter, because God wants to use you if you let him. Doesn't matter how old, how young, if your background, your education, your lack of education, all those things. God wants to use you if you will let him. Grab that, make it your own, know that it's true about you. You can find it in the Word of God. I'm not making it up. Check it out yourself. Now I want to look at verse 30 and 31 together. And I will cause wonders in the heavens and on the earth, blood and fire and columns of smoke. The sun will become dark and the moon will turn blood red before that great and terrible day of the Lord arrives. Now that's not what you find in the Christian bookstore on a coffee mug, right? That's not what you put up in your wall art, you know, the little sticky things that you put on the wall and it has scriptures. We don't put that scripture. That's not the one we want to talk about. Now Peter quoted all of these verses. He quoted including 30 and 31 in Acts 2. And he said, you know, today is the day this is being fulfilled. But these two verses didn't happen in real time. It wasn't like when the Holy Spirit came and later on the sun and the moon and the darkness and the clouds and smoke. Didn't happen in real time. So why did Peter quote it? Well, it's a matter of interpretation, some, but I like simple. I don't mean stupid simple. I mean, what's the most obvious? What's the most common sense interpretation? Peter quoted this and said this is coming true today. And the simplest explanation I could come up with is that it is something yet to be fulfilled. And he's talking, at least indirectly, about the second coming of Jesus, or maybe the events that are happening right before his return. That there is judgment ahead. We were being reminded, judgment will happen, and that will be a great and terrible day. That's how the NLT has it. Some have awesome. They might, your version may say awesome, and they don't mean like, oh, I went to an awesome concert last night, or my boyfriend's awesome. We kind of lost the meaning of awesome. He's talking about awesome like, whoa, I didn't expect that to happen. awesome. Not in a good way awesome. Your version, I think NIV might say dreadful. Dreadful day. But God gives us a promise. He gives us a way out. He gives us a way to avoid that judgment. And even those two verses I just read, 30 and 31, they don't sound like something I want to be a part of. And God gives you a way to not have to go through those things. First part of verse 32, Peter quoted this as well. But, and all the blood and the smoke and the tear and the blotted out the sun, but everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. I'm going to leave that up until the end of our time here today. You can refer back to it. I want you to remember that. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. There's that word everyone again. He's emphasizing this is for everyone, not just the elites and the connected and the smart people. Doesn't matter where you came from. It doesn't matter what you've done. Doesn't matter what your sin is. And you say, well, Jerry, my sin's been pretty bad. Well, I've got some too I'll share with you sometime. Or maybe not. Doesn't matter what it is. It doesn't matter who you did it with. Doesn't matter who knows about it. Maybe you're the only one that knows about it. Or maybe you got your name in the papers because of it. Doesn't matter. You call on the name of Jesus, and he saves you. He saves you. There is no sin that you could commit or have committed in the past that's too big for the cross. The cross is big enough to cover all sins. Jesus paid for all sins. He died for the sins of the world. And so don't think that your sin is too big for Jesus to cover, because he'll cover it if you call on his name. He was nailed to the cross for your sins and my sins. He died for your sins and my sins. And 3 days later, he was resurrected, and he defeated death permanently. And he invites us to call on his name so that we can also experience the defeat of death and live with him forever in eternity. So please, if you don't know Jesus, let's get together, you and I. Let's talk. I want to tell you about him. I'm not pushy. I'm not going to tell you what you have to do, but I want to introduce you or tell you about Jesus. Or maybe you need to come back to him. You know, you've drifted away. I would love to talk to you. And this church wants you to know him. So call on the name of the Lord and realize that word everyone means you. Means you. And once you know him, he wants to use you. He wants to work through you. He wants to do things, no matter who you are or what's happened in the past. So are you responding to that? I'm glad you're at church. I'm glad that you've called on the name of the Lord at some time in the past, if you have. But are you dreaming dreams with God? Are you going to God for your visions and dreams? Are you open to them? So we have a vision here at Bethel Church of seeing people come to Jesus or return to him. But to see that happen, we've got to put it into practice. We can't just talk about it and nod and say, yes, yes, we want to see people come to Jesus. I talked last week a bit about how as we need to be aware as a church that we are really, truly welcoming people, bringing them in. Not just, hi, I'm glad you're here. Here's a bulletin. How are you? What do you do? Now I've met you. Now I'm going to go talk to my friend. We're good at that. We're good at that initial bring them in. I think we're genuinely friendly, and I'm proud of this church for that. But I'm talking about bringing them in. Really get to know people. Let them be part of this family. Let them in from, you know, the outside circle into the inside. To listen to people, to listen to their stories, to share your life with them, and to help them become part of this wonderful church family. Not just attenders, but part of the family. And it's all good to say, and maybe you agreed with it last week, or maybe you thought I was wrong about it, but if you agreed with it, I would say to you, because I'm saying this to me, well, what have you done about it in the last 7 days since we were last together? If you're like me, you get busy, and yeah, I'm the pastor, but I also have the office duties part of my job, and you know, I just kind of hit the ground running like you do on Monday, and I've done a little bit of that kind of stuff this week, but not much. Not really much. So I came up with some easy things you can do. Some very doable. They're not threatening. They're not weird. And I have 4 of them, but I'm only going to tell you 1 per month. So we're going to break it down to be super easy. But I think they can have eternal consequences and impact. So I'm going to tell you 1 this month, February, March, and April. I may tell you the April one a little early, but we'll wait till we get to there. So you can do 1 thing in a month. I mean, you got time to do that. something that could truly, honestly, have eternal consequences and impact. And you could do it today if you chose to do it today. Now, you may have some other things going on today you need to plan for. That's okay. You have next week. And then we have one other Sunday before this month is over. So here is the January challenge to do one time this month. And here it is, very easy. Invite one person you don't know well out to lunch. Now, we usually go out with our friends, but invite one person or one family out to lunch. Somebody you don't know well. That doesn't mean they're brand new to the church, but maybe you've just never gotten to know them. Maybe, you know, you don't see them all the time or whatever. You just ask God, he'll show you who it should be. So you've got this week, two more Sundays. You can do it once, you can do it 3 weeks, whatever you want. But do it. Now, I already had some lunch plans with somebody, but I haven't been out to lunch with them, so this one half counts. But Diana and I'll do it in the next Sunday or the one after. You don't know how God will use this. It sounds so simple. I invite them to lunch. But, you know, just like Madison and her Bible, she has 50 Bibles, 129 Bibles. You never know how God is going to use what you do. And we don't know how those Bibles are going to be used. We don't know how these a lunch might be used. Just invite them to lunch. You don't have to be all, you know, ready with a spiel or anything. Just let the Holy Spirit do the work. Be normal with them. And if you can't, if someone says, "Oh, I can't do it today," or "I can't do it next Sunday," don't give up. Say, "Well, I did my part. I punched the thing." Now, find somebody else. Find somebody else that can go. Push past your line of comfort. And I know for some of you this is easier than others, and other, you know, if you're more on the shy side, it's a little harder to ask somebody out to lunch than others. And you don't have to pay. You can go. Is it right to say "go Dutch" around here? Is that, can you say that? Or is there a different term? Because that would be confusing. I don't know what to say. When the other, like, each person pays for themselves or each family. I have to find a different. So go to lunch. Most of you go to lunch anyway. You go to the Mexican restaurant. 3/4 of the church is sitting in there. Rest of y'all are at Pizza Hut. So let's dream some dreams together, church. It's a fun place to be. I love being here. I want other people to experience what we experience. Let's explore some visions together. Let's consider prophecies if they come our way, always lining up with the Bible, of course. Let's start with the dream that every person that God sends us, every single person, whether you meet them outside or inside the church, but when they come into our sphere, that every person that comes our way and are willing to come here or be part of something we're doing, that they know, that they have no doubt that they are loved and accepted the way they are, the way we encounter them, the way they're dressed, the way they think, all of it, that they know that they're accepted in this place. No exceptions. Anybody that comes here should be welcomed and loved, and they should know that. So may this be a place where God's Spirit is always apparent, and God's love flows freely and easily. And we could start today with lunch. Let's pray. Father, I pray that you use this challenge in my life and Diana's life, all of us, Lord, that we would seek people out, seek each other out, that maybe we've said hello to the person or we kind of know them, but we haven't really sat down and broke bread together, as it were. So, Lord, would you use this to strengthen us as a church family, to bring people in, to help people to know that they're loved and wanted. And I pray that you would begin to do that today for the people that are able to make those kind of plans today or in the next couple of weeks. And Lord, as we go through these challenges over the next 3.5 months, I pray that you would use them in ways that perhaps we never dreamed, we never imagined. But Lord, that's what you do. And we thank you for being that kind of a God. And we thank you that we know you and that we can call on the name of Jesus. We pray these things, we think about them, we meditate on them, and we remember them all in the name of Jesus. Amen.